Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. He's ready to go. Let's bring him in here. How are we doing, Pierre? Has he been ready for a while? Sorry about that, Pierre.
No, it's okay. Like the last 6 minutes of your show was like when Costanza and Seinfeld went to NBC and said, "We want to do a show about nothing."
Yes, that's what we do. Is a that's show about nothing.
Literally what just happened.
Yeah, there was nothing of substance in there. Like SportsCenter is not combing over that, wondering if they could play anything later in the hour. But that's why we bring you in. You're an esteemed gentleman, and we had a trade last night, Pierre. We had a trade in the NHL. Colorado going out there and moving. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit piece, but like Colorado's a team you got to circle, don't you, Pierre? Like, they're going to get in the mix in some capacity, and it wouldn't be shocking if they went big game hunting.
Big time, yeah, I think so. And I actually talked about them on Insider Trading, which will air shortly on SportsCenter, but what the heck, let's spill the beans now. And one of the things that I wanted to figure out today was that where does Gabriel Landeskog fit in all this? He hasn't played this year, as you guys know. And there are people around the league that I talked to this week that were starting to say, wait a minute, is this like their Kucherov this year and he's not going to show up till the playoffs and now they have $7 million to spend? And I made some inquiries today and the answer was absolutely not. The Avalanche can't wait for this guy to come back and believe that he'll be back by early March, very much way before the end of the regular season. So there's none of that stuff happening. But it's important to figure that out because he's a $7 million player and because he will be back before the end of the regular season and his $7 million salary, they're actually pretty tight against the cap. They still want to act. They're a creative team. You know, they're like the Lightning. They find ways no matter what the cap says, like the Leafs in terms of adding. There's no doubt in my mind they want to add in their top six or at least their top nine. They lost Kadri and Burakovsky in the offseason. It's funny, we talk a lot about the impact of losing Nazem and Kadri, which is gigantic for that cup champion team. Burakovsky's having a heck of a year in Seattle, too. Like, they lost two key guys there from that second line and really didn't replace them. So they're going to try and look at what's out there. Listen, I think they're going to keep tabs right to the end on guys like O'Reilly and Horvat, etc. But I think the Avs have traded away so many future assets the last couple of years and the trades they've made that they may have to go a little lower. And the guy that I mentioned on Insider Trading this evening was keep an eye on Sean Monahan. If Sean Monahan, you know, plays as well as he was before he got hurt and he's about to return here soon, I think he would fit the type of player that the Avalanche have on their list. Doesn't mean they'll end up with him, but when you want to link players and fits, I think he'd be a fit in Colorado.
Is it a foregone conclusion, in your opinion, that Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane will be moved from Chicago? I mean, Kane, it seems like a lock, but Jonathan Toews, do you think there'd be a marketplace for him and try and squeeze him in the cap somewhere?
And what about together?
Oh, I think, I don't think about together. Only reason is O'Dog and Noodles is that, you know, they both have $10.5 million cap hits. So
right.
Together, even with broker teams, my brain would explode trying to figure that out. But yeah, there's a huge market for Kane. There is a need, you know, a market for Toews in a couple places. We're asking the wrong question though, is whether they actually want to go anywhere. I'm not sure whether or not Toews does yet. Okay. I think Kane, it would really have to be specific to certain teams that he would weigh for. Remember, these two players control everything, full no move clauses. The other thing with Kane, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago in Insider Trading, and I didn't want to raise eyebrows too much, but it's just something to file away. You know, he missed a few games with something that's nagging. He's come back. I don't know whether it's nagging enough that it could reoccur and could influence how he feels about getting moved. So just file that away as far as his health. But to this point, I know from hearing today, Kane and Toews both represented by Pat Brisson. I think they're waiting till post-All-Star break to sort of reconvene and see how everyone feels about the trade deadline.
With Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. So the Canucks, a week ago, the hierarchy in Vancouver admits major surgery is needed. Got to have major surgery. But Andrei Kuzmenko will apparently not be included in that. And he's had a really good year. They recruited him heavily, but they gave him a two-year deal at $5.5 million. There's a limited no trade in there. How make this make sense for us, Pierre, how all this surgery needs to happen, yet they gave JT Miller money, they gave Mikheyev money, now they're giving Kuzmenko money. it's not a foregone conclusion Horvat's out of there. Maybe they continue to negotiate with him. Like, at some point, someone cannot get paid, and someone's got to go in Vancouver. Is that not true,
yeah.
Or can they find money from, you know, cap space that we didn't know existed?
No, they'll be moving bodies out between March 3rd and this offseason. You know, Kuzmenko is interesting because that was far from a guarantee they could get that done. And actually, to be honest, what it tells you, interestingly, given all the drama in Vancouver this year, is that it's the player himself that made this happen. Andre Kuzmenko didn't want to go anywhere. He loves it in Vancouver after coming over from the KHL. And I know from talking to teams that they felt his price tag on the open market. He's a point-of-game player. A pretty dynamic player, was $6 million at least on the open market. He signed for 5.5 in Vancouver. So he really made that happen. The Canucks would have wanted him even a bit cheaper, but I know that his agent's original asking price was higher, and they kind of found the middle. But I'm just saying that's an interesting thing, because when we look from afar, from three time zones away here, guys, you kind of wonder how many players are, what kind of, how they're enjoying the season in Vancouver with the coach fired. You know, coach twisting in a win and all this stuff happening. The captain hasn't been signed. And here's a guy saying, you know what, I know there's a lot going on, but I don't want to go anywhere. So I thought that was actually really the headline on that signing. The other thing is, it's just a two-year deal. I think it would have been problematic for me if they threw another 6 to 7 year deal at someone else. They didn't do that. So it's a short extension. I don't think this contract's a problem at all. He's a good player. Horvat is Horvat's the story. When they last made him an offer, I think it was late November, early December, you know, not only was it not accepted, but I don't even know that Horvat was in a position where he wanted to negotiate during the season like a lot of guys are, right? I think the Canucks are going to take another
one. Everybody
looks
at everything, Pierre.
Yeah. Well, and I think the Canucks will try one last time. Whether or not they're able to, you know, to bridge that gap. Otherwise, he is dealt. And you can say what you want, but... and I know the Canucks are retooling, not rebuilding, but that's a lot of goals out the door if they got a deal Bo Horvat out there.
Where do you think he ends up here? I know they've tried to eliminate people kicking tires. Like, what makes the most sense, and who do you think is set on getting this guy?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I talked to a team this week, O-Dog. I got to be careful here. I talked to a team this week that I felt could be among the teams that would make sense for him. And they said, listen, yeah, of course we like Bo Horvat. Who doesn't? But what the Canucks want in return right now, we can't get into that. And again, they want a young center. And a young defender as part of a multi-asset package on top of probably a first-round pick. The guy's a rental player right now.
But, Pierre, why do teams do that? Why don't they just try to make a deal that makes sense for both parties instead of, like, who the hell says we want a young centerman? Like,
well, because we're not March 3rd, right? I mean, this is the poker game, is that what you're asking for now is not necessarily what you'll end up getting. And so I don't mind that the Canucks are starting high. It's just that at some point they'll have to be more realistic, probably. The point I was going to make, though, is they haven't yet, and may not, who knows, given permission to Horvat's camp, led by Pat Morris of Newport Sports, permission to speak directly to the teams. And I get it, because sometimes teams feel that when the agent becomes involved, there's too much lost control of the process. In other words, basically, the agent just picks the team, right? Mm-hmm. But having said that, if Bo Horvat is signed to an extension as part of the trade, you're getting more in return if you're the Vancouver Canucks. So I think that's something they got to think of eventually. I mean, you know, you think of the Matthew Tkachuk trade situation last summer as a great example. Like, you know, the Flames didn't have to involve an extension, but they got more in return by allowing Newport Sports to get involved, pick the Panthers, and have Panthers sign Matthew Tkachuk. Or I guess it was Calgary who signed him, but in order to trade him to that big extension.
With Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, regardless of what happens between now and March 3rd, Pierre, can you picture a scenario where we wake up on March 4th and think there's a team that has the same ability to go on a cup run as the Boston Bruins? Like, let's assume the Bruins don't do anything significant, but other teams around them do
right.
significant moves? Because right now it feels like it's Bruins versus the field. Do you think that could change between now and March 4th?
I think I agree with that sentiment. I still love a healthy Colorado if they make one move. And the other team that I would say that, even though I know they want to make a move, but just given what they've done and how they look again, is Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa's core is back again, and they're playing great. Like, you know, I think they're playing each other tonight, by the way, Tampa and Boston.
But yeah, it'll be a good game.
If you're trying to force me to pick a team where I have confidence that I know they show up when it's the playoffs, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning, who don't have as many assets to use up, by the way, before the trade deadline compared to the Leafs or the Bruins. By the way, I was thinking today, since it's pretty much locked in, Tampa and Toronto, wouldn't it be great if we could just eliminate the last month of the regular season for the Leafs and Lightning and make it like a best of 30?
Absolutely. Those two teams? Just play.
Let's just have them play for 6 weeks.
All day.
And see who comes up on top.
Yeah, every other night.
Yeah. Tampa, Toronto.
I played junior. I think my first year junior in the Western League, like late 80s, there was like a best of nine. You play best of nine. It wasn't even best of seven.
Let's bring in here. Let's petition. Jeff, Saturday, move aside. We've got a new petition.
Let me ask you guys this. You know, I'm going to contradict my point here about the importance of the Leafs finishing ahead of the Lightning. You know, the Leafs had home ice last year and lost game seven at home. But now that the Leafs have found, I asked Sheldon Keefe this yesterday at the media availability, the fact that, and he agreed, that he probably has more confidence than he's ever had since he's been Leafs coach in his top six flexibility, as far as now that he's had, you know, Nylander and Matthews play together for a couple months and have success. Now he's gone back to Marner, Matthews, you know, Tavares and Marner, Tavares, Nylander. There's an ability to make it more difficult now on Tampa matchup-wise that maybe didn't exist in reality. Maybe existed, you know, that's what people want to say. But in true reality, with the season on the line, I think the Leafs have more flexibility with their stars than they had a year ago. And when it comes to Tampa and home ice and last line change, Anthony Cirelli is a guy that John Cooper wants to put on the people that really scare him the most for Toronto. And now I think the Leafs have a couple of different looks that they actually believe in. And I wonder from that perspective how much you believe home ice still matters or not in that series.
Well, that seems to be the only battle at this point, the only race. You know, unless they're fighting over the same players come the deadline, you know, it's going to come down to who ends up with home ice between now and the end of the year. We'll leave it there, Pierre. Thank you for doing this, buddy.
Before we get out of here, Pierre, would you like to cut Dak Prescott or continue moving forward with him?
No way, baby. Fabulous year, 13-5, played hard in San Fran, but lost to the team that I picked. Lost to the team that I picked, as Hayes knows, in September to win the Super Bowl. I picked the San Francisco 49ers.
All right. Well, there you go. You can have your cake and eat it, too. That's like, it's such a hedge, right? Cowboys, they lost, but they lost to the team I thought would win anyway. So it works out beautifully for you. It's all good.
Love my Cowboys.
It's all good. Thank you, Pierre. There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN hockey insider. Yeah, listen, Cowboys and Dak, I guess Jerry Jones is saying now he wants Mike McCarthy to be his coach longer than Tom Landry was the coach. And Landry was the coach for like 20 years
or
something.
Tom Landry was awesome.
Yeah, but he fired everyone around him. He fired everyone around him.
Yeah, listen, it's not going to happen. Mike McCarthy is not going to be there for 20 years. But, you know, Pierre's right. Like, the Niners, that doesn't come up enough when you start focusing on a loss. Generally, it goes to the team that lost as opposed to the team that won. Niners are a better team, and they were, and they deserve to win. And I think it'll be a great game this weekend in Philly. We got to flip a coin in the next segment to see who's picking who.
We got to get a coin. Anybody?
We'll find a coin.
Coins?
We have coins. Yeah, we've got coins.
I have them at home. I don't.
We get a coin, so we're going to flip
coins
a coin.
In those stupid trophies on the desk in front of the glass.
Is there? Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
We'll flip a coin. We'll make a determination on who's picking what game. Or do you want to put names in a hat? We'll figure it out during the break.
Yeah, let's do it.
And we got to establish some rules here for what we're going to do leading up to the Super Bowl, right?
I think kind of like Noodles drawing names out of a hat.
Okay. Let's do that. We'll make that happen. TSN 1050 wants you to be our unofficial correspondent at the Waste Management Open in Arizona. The first caller through right now at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. With the correct keyword announced this morning on First Up, wins a $100 Golf Town gift card and qualifies for the grand prize draw. First Up with Karolnik and Koliakova will be calling our grand prize winner Friday, February 3rd. Full contest details available at tsn1050.ca. Back into the NFL. Our best bets brought to you by FanDuel later this hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.